On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, chatting all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona you the TV have, you know, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw on television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on the Indo Daily, nuclear tensions, family assassinations, and the heiress to the throne in North Korea. Kim Jong-un, the secretive leader of North Korea, has recently unveiled his daughter to the world, sparking speculation that she could become the next dictator of the hermit state.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is again sharing the spotlight with his young daughter. North Korean state media reported the two attended a soccer match.
But what does the rise of the 10-year-old daughter mean for Kim's once powerful sister?
Others even suggest that this is a warning to his sister, Kim Yo-jong, to not get any ideas, to know their place and understand who's in charge and who's going to be making the decisions about who's going to be next in line.
And what does it mean for tense relations with the West?
Kim Jong-un, dictator and family man, brought his daughter and wife to the military parade, which featured more intercontinental ballistic missiles than ever before, designed to reach U.S. targets.
I'm Fionnán Sheehan, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm talking to Professor Peter Kabashnik from the City University of New York, who is writing a book examining everyday life and the cult of personality in North Korea. Peter, how significant is it that we are suddenly seeing Kim Jong-un appear with his daughter?
There's definitely significance to this, but what the significance is still a little unclear. So in November, last November 2022, Kim Ju-ae, Kim Jong-un's daughter, had her first public appearance. So it was at an ICBM test, and she appeared next to her father.
The unexpected appearance of Kim Jong-un's daughter at a recent missile test has raised speculation that she could be a successor in making. If true, analysts say it would be an unprecedented uphill struggle in the male-dominated dynasty.
She was referred to as his quote-unquote beloved daughter and quote-unquote respected daughter. She has had at least four more appearances since that first one, including at a lavish army banquet, a football match, a military parade in Pyongyang. In terms of being incorporated into the personality cult, which is an important like symbolic signal, she will be on recently issued stamps to commemorate the missile tests that she had just attended. Also quite curious is her age nor her name have been identified in the North Korean state media. It actually took basketball diplomacy with Dennis Rodman's or infamous 2013 trip, depending on your point of view, where he recounted holding Kim Jong-un's child. That's when the world actually first learned not only her name, but the fact that she even existed. Her age is unknown, with some speculating she's 9 or 10, others saying she's 11 or 12. But probably no older than 13. Kim Jong-un is also thought to have two other children, an older boy and an unknown younger child. And of course, why she is being brought into the spotlight and not the elder boy, it also has people scratching their heads. However, we need to be very cautious amid all this speculation. There are many more questions right now than answers.
So normally, you know, a parent would bring a child to a football match to show them to the world. In this case, she's brought to a an intercontinental ballistic missile test, and that's her introduction to the world. So that's the curious world of North Korea, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like you go to have some cake and cupcakes at a birthday party. No, you take her to an ICBM test. So yeah, North Korea is definitely a special case when we're considering these types of things. I guess the question is why, right? Why show the daughter? Why now? Why her? What does this all mean? This was clearly done intentionally, obviously totally choreographed, designed to impact both domestic and international audiences, but in different ways. There are likely many different reasons for this. And at this point, no one can unequivocally state what this all means. Overall, for me, my take is that her appearance is certainly not meaningless, but how meaningful it is won't be determined for some time. So we have to wait and see. So some people are saying that, okay, this is it. This just means that Kim Jue is the clear successor. Some people believe this, but many others are skeptical that it's that clear cut. South Korea's unification minister, for instance, questions that she is next in line. And there are a number of reasons to doubt it, from Kim Jong-un's young age to her youth, to the very patriarchal political system in North Korea. Others suggest that it's not about her in particular, but it's about the successor is going to be in the family, and the next leader will continue the Mount Baekje bloodline, as they call it. So Kim Yo-jung is Kim Jong-un's younger sister, and she's seen as a key part of his inner circle. She is now the director of the Propaganda and Agitation Department, which like her grandfather, is an extremely important position. Kim Jong-un also appointed her as an alternate member of the Politburo. She has the personality and the experience and the temperament, and she has very strong statements and condemning the U.S. and South Korea and things like that. So there is this camp that that felt quite strongly that she was a good candidate for succession. And then others even suggest that this is a warning to not get any ideas, to know their place and understand who's in charge and who's going to be making the decisions about who's going to be next in line. So that's kind of the succession argument. Second, this could be about succession, but in a different way, but as a kind of a signal to elites about what happens if Kim Jong-un dies suddenly, that they do indeed have a plan in place. So this is the scenario if there are people who have serious concerns about Kim Jong-un's serious health issues, for instance. And why are we even worried about his health? Well, there are lots of questions about Kim Jong-un's health. There have been several instances where Kim Jong-un hasn't been seen publicly for weeks, the most recent occurring in April 2020 when he was out of the public eye for around 3 weeks. It's also happened before in 2014 and 2016, I believe. So this draws the interest of the global media, wondering where he is, whether he's sick, if there has been a coup. And in this most recent instance, reports that he may have even died.
And could his daughter's sudden appearance relate to Kim Jong-un's own image?
So this would be to cultivate a family man image for Kim Jong-un, to humanize him, see him as like a caring figure, a loving father. And this kind of image and narrative ties into the greater Kim Il-sung personality cult as well. Or it could be to reinforce the connection between the Kim family and the North Korean military, right? So this is something that has to, that is constantly being emphasized in the North Korean media. So she is being displayed with ICBMs at military parades.
Saturday's missile, one of many on display just last week, a record number of ICBMs, more than any military parade in North Korean history. Kim ordered mass production of ICBMs earlier this year, the parade featuring new missiles and a new face, Kim Jue, Kim's daughter, believed to be just 9 years old.
So it could be to reinforce the connection that the security of the country is bound together intimately with the Kim family. And then fourth, lastly, is that, and this is one that I don't hear discussed as much, but one that I personally give a lot of credence to, is simply as a way to gather attention, to have the world talking about North Korea, right, which is what we're doing. It can also serve as a distraction from the nuclear security and human rights issues. And if this was a goal, it has certainly succeeded, right? It can be beneficial to North Korea to have the global media experts and politicians spinning their wheels trying to figure out what all of this means. So in the end, you know, I think this is, there's probably room for at least parts of all four of these broad reasons to help understand Kim Jong-un's calculus for this decision.
It is unusual, though. I mean, for her to be unveiled at such a young age is a break from what has happened in the past. But we didn't see Kim Jong-un until he was 26. By that stage, he'd even gone to school in Switzerland because people didn't know who he was. So the fact that she's being unveiled at such an early age, it does add to that mystique of what exactly is going on here.
Exactly. Yeah. So and this is why we have to be cautious about making any, you know, definitive declarations about what this means. So Kim Jong-il had three sons that were considered candidates. There was Kim Jong-nam, the eldest son, Kim Jong-chol, and of course, Kim Jong-un. So we know that the older two weren't chosen and Kim Jong-un was selected. But actually, it is said that Kim Jong-il had actually selected Kim Jong-un to be his successor when he was just 8 years old, back in 1992. But he only told those in his closest inner circle and nobody else knew. And then, like you said, it wasn't until 2009 that he first started appearing in official statements. In 2010, he was given the rank of four-star general, and thus it became clear that he was being groomed to be next in line. And then, of course, he takes over after his father's death in 2011 and has been in power ever since. However, Kim Jong-nam was not simply passed over, but he was later killed in a very public fashion.
Yeah, that was the great curiosity of the nerve agent and the reality TV show and the prank gone wrong. Tell us about that.
So Kim Jong-nam is Kim Jong-un's older half-brother, and he was seen by many experts as a probable successor. His initial political downfall is often pinpointed to a very visible public arrest in 2001 when he was allegedly trying to visit Disneyland in Japan and was arrested in Tokyo for traveling on a fake passport. He'd also spent a lot of time in Europe, was a gambler, and was probably too westernized for the likes of Kim Jong-il and other elites. This was probably enough to show that he wasn't leader material, but probably not enough to want to kill him. Later, when he was living in China, he occasionally spoke out against the regime, including to a Japanese journalist that some say angered the leadership greatly. And there are also rumors that he was an informant maybe for the CIA and or that China had chosen him as a replacement for Kim Jong-un. And any of those could be the reasons he was assassinated.
So what happened, Peter?
So he was killed by two women who doused him with VX, a deadly nerve agent, at the Kuala Lumpur airport in Malaysia.
The expanding mystery of Kim Jong-un's half-brother's death tonight involves an international manhunt and a nasty dispute between two Asian powers. The Malaysian police tonight are asking Interpol to put out an alert for four missing North Korean suspects wanted in the death of Kim Jong-nam.
And here is where we get into the, you know, crazy story where, you know, it sounds like it's just outlandish and preposterous, but is actually undeniably true. So in this case, these two women were recruited by North Korean agents under the guise of being on a prank show, a hidden camera reality show where they pull pranks on unsuspecting people for laughs.
A murder case so bizarre that a suspect was captured on surveillance wearing a loud white shirt with LOL emblazoned across the front. According to Agence France-Presse, one of the suspects, an Indonesian woman, told police she thought she was taking part in a harmless prank as part of a reality TV show.
They were trained and did this for months, applying lotions and creams to unsuspecting bystanders until that fateful day in February 2017, when they were given the orders to get their next target, which happened to be the North Korean dictator's older half-brother. The operation was a success, as Kim Jong-nam was dead within the hour. And while the women were apprehended, the North Koreans managed to return home on the same flight with Kim Jong-nam's body, to add more intrigue to everything. Just another detail that I find fascinating in all of this, Kim Jong-nam actually had VX, or kind of a generalized nerve agent antidote, in his backpack. So he obviously was prepared and aware of the potential attempt on his life and the way it might actually be carried out.
Yeah, it's a fascinating insight into what can happen within succession planning in families. Effectively, we now have a fourth generation being lined up one way or another, whether that's his sister or his daughter. It basically says this family isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Where does this leave us in terms of the geopolitical situation of the tensions between North Korea and the West?
I think it leaves us in exactly the same place we've been in for quite some time. And that's in, basically a stalemate, because geopolitically, once a state acquires nuclear weapons, that basically guarantees the lack of outside military interference, which is exactly why states like North Korea try to get nuclear weapons. North Korea launched a record number of missiles last year in 2022. In terms of technological advancements, they have developed three types of ICBMs since 2017, the Hwasong-14, Hwasong-15, and Hwasong-17 missiles, all of which can reach the mainland of the United States. The newest one, the Hwasong-17, is much bigger and can be equipped with multiple payloads. And another one of the latest developments is their turn from liquid fuel to solid fuel ICBMs, which matters because they can be launched much more quickly. So these are all significant developments and of great concern for the security of the region and of the world. And in terms of what Kim Jong-un's statements indicate, there has been a shift in the discourse, whereas previously he would say things like, if the United States doesn't play ball, then we might not be able to, we're not going to negotiate over the nuclear issue. Recently, there's been a shift where he's saying more unequivocally that North Korea will never give up its nuclear weapons. And this has been a recent shift that analysts have noted. Does that mean for sure there won't be any more negotiations? No, but it certainly is a conscious strategy that they're being deliberate about in their messaging. And it also helps that there is nobody trying to negotiate with him right now, so it's easier to make those types of claims.
My thanks to Professor Peter Kabashnik for joining me today. I'm Fiona Chain, and today's episode of The Indo Daily was produced by Mary Carroll, researched by Owen Maloney, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. Clips from the BBC, CNN, CBS, Al Jazeera, The Telegraph and Independent.ie. If you enjoy The Indo Daily, follow us wherever you get your podcasts.